11 players on one side, 11 players on the other side. A big piece of grass, a couple of goals and one ball. The aim of the game is to score the most goals in those big looking holes guarded by glove trolls.
He shoots, he scores, scoring the goals. He shoots, he scores, scoring the goals.
Yes, hello everybody. Welcome along to the League Podcast. We will look at six championship matches. We'll have a look at the best bets in League One and League Two. And this week, ahead of Pete Farris' trip to Wembley to commentate on Chesterfield versus Peterborough in the Johnson's Paint Trophy, we'll have a little look at that as well, Pete. Are you excited?
I'm very excited, yeah. Brilliant. There's a small problem regarding accommodation, which I need to get sorted, what's that phrase we use, ASAP.
Yeah, that's fine.
But other than that, I'm really looking forward to it.
Sleep on the steps outside. With your anyway, by the way, in relation to that, I've just said sleep on the steps outside. I can imagine you actually turning up with that microphone. Pete and the guys at Peak FM, where he does a commentaries for, have done a great little video, which is like the build up to Wembley. I presume you've tweeted that, Pete, have you?
Or will you tweet it? I will tweet for my best thing later on.
So yeah. Follow Pete Farris. It's at Pete _ Farries, FARRIES, and keep an eye out for that video because it's well worth watching. It's just, it's very Partridge, isn't it? I won't ruin it, but Pete is basically playing the commentator throughout, and I must admire your commitment to the cause. That mic doesn't leave your lip once, I don't think.
No, it was
very good fun.
It was a good afternoon. Stressful, but a good afternoon.
Yeah. I mean, the planning that must have gone into it is brilliant. But anyway, I won't spoil it. Go and watch it yourselves. We'll come on to Chessy versus Peterborough soon. First of all, Burnley versus Leicester. What a great game to start the Championship weekend off. Live on the telly, 12:15, 9-5 Burnley, 23-10 the draw, and 6-10 the price for Leicester. Leicester are top on 82 points, but suddenly, Pete, I know they've got a game in hand, but suddenly, we thought they were home and hosed as far as the title was concerned. You know, they're a Burnley, 3 points behind them, still winning games, not conceding goals, beat Charlton 3-0 away, followed that up with a 2-0 win over Donny in midweek. Leicester, I mean, it's harsh to say that the wheels are coming off, and I wouldn't say that, but 2-1-1 draws in succession pretty much is the wheels coming off for them, because they don't do that very often. To be fair, they drew 2-2 with Watford, drew 2-2 with Nottingham Forest in February, then bounced back and won 3-0. Do you think they get back on track here and get back amongst winning ways against Burnley?
No, I don't think they do, actually. Look, it's like you say, the wheels sort of quote-unquote coming off, but if they're
just
coming
wobbling
off...
A nuts come loose on the back wheel.
They've still got enough if the wheels are coming off to drift safely into their destination.
Yeah.
They'll be absolutely fine. Both of these sides are up now. It's done. It's done for me. And it would take something in terms of a collapse like we've never seen before at the top of a table this late on. And a charge from QPR like we wouldn't have seen before either. These two are up. And I think there might be a little bit of an air of that at the stadium at the weekend at Turf Moor. But why wouldn't you go with Burnley? I mean, I know that Paul Dickoff was very unhappy with the referee after that victory over Doncaster Rovers for Burnley. But the point remains, Burnley still did them 2-0. It was still pretty simple. Vokes and Stanislas, the goal scorers in that game. And, you know, again, Sam Vokes has been in great goal scoring form, hasn't he? 2-2, but if you look over the course of his season, I think it's fair to say he's done slightly better than even that. I mean, they are just ticking over so nicely, and it'll be a real battle. I mean, both teams are scoring this game. I wouldn't be surprised to see this in one of your rackers later on, Lee. 13-20 if you want to play that. And, you know, for Burnley, it hasn't landed in the last two, but if you look at their home form, while it hasn't landed a lot, still 3 from 5, and that's not a horrendous record, is it? Leicester score away from home, we know they do. I think you're looking down the barrel of just Doncaster Rovers this season, who they haven't scored at. So you've got all of this in your favour for that both teams to score. And that's why Burnley and both teams to score looks interesting to me. I just think here now, 4-1 is too good a price. Nigel Pearson's doing, you know, a very, very good job. Leicester are going up. But a couple of draws from away from home recently, and like you say, a couple of unconvincing results against sides. You expect them to beat Blackburn, of course, we thought they definitely would beat at the weekend and midweek, you know, at home against Yeovil. Burnley just aren't stopping. You know, and yes, they had that draw against Birmingham City midweek a couple of weeks ago, and maybe they'll like more from that game, but when you see the record that Burnley have got at the moment at home, you know, 5 back-to-back wins, scoring 3s and 2s all over the place, looking incredibly strong at home, you know, having dropped, I think, is it... well, 8 points or something like that since October. At home, it's unbelievable.
Yeah.
They are unbelievable at home, and for me, the pricing on Burnley at 9-5. Put it this way: in this match, there is one thing that is absolutely for certain, and that is that Leicester shouldn't be favs. Is that fair?
Yeah, I can see that.
I could understand if they're both the same price, but Leicester shouldn't be favs. With the fact that they're stumbling a little bit at the moment, mixed with Burnley's home form, they shouldn't be favs. Mm. So if you can get Burnley draw no bet in any game this season at odds against, why aren't you playing it?
Yeah.
21-20.
Mm.
Unbelievable. You play Vokes, who we mentioned, of course, a moment ago, anytime at 6-5. I know, of course, there's no Danny Ings, but they are still too strong for words in this Burnley. And if I had to go with one of these two sides, I'd have to be playing Burnley.
Yeah, like it. Next up, let's have a look at Ipswich versus Nottingham Forest. 13-10 Ipswich, 11-5 the draw, and 11-5 for Nottingham Forest. Lost 5-0 to Derby, of course, at the weekend, and then sacked Billy Davis. Lots of rumours immediately that Neil Warnock would be taking over, and that didn't transpire. So then we get the kind of the fun and games that is a manager market. Followed up the 5-0 defeat by losing 1-0 at home to Charlton. William Hill are betting on the next permanent Nottingham Forest manager. 7-4 for Glenn Hoddle. Mm. Gianfranco Zola was gambled in a lot after Neil Warnock turned the job down. He's now 5-2. Stuart Pearce, another name linked, 7-2. Malcolm Mackay, 12-1. Leonardo Jardim, 16. Steve Clark, same price, 20s for Neil Warnock. And then you get up to 25-1 and bigger for the likes of Gary Brazil, Mike Phelan, and Roberto Di Matteo. Malcolm Mackay is an interesting one there, Peter, 12s.
Yeah, possibly so. I mean, he's a man who we know can put together a very solid side for promotion. That's maybe what Forrest is looking at. Stuart Pearce has turned it down, reportedly, today, hasn't he? Neil Warnock decided, obviously, against it for whatever reason. Gianfranco Zola could still be a very interesting pick in that market as well. But this is the whole thing. Ipswich are odds against here. And that seems mad to me. Wigan beat them at home recently. And then you've got to go back to January, and then it's QPR. And then before that, Leicester. And before that, Burnley. Only Leeds are a side who aren't among the elite who've beaten Ipswich at home this season. And that was early season. Since then, like I say, Burnley, Leicester, QPR, Wigan. Those are the only teams who've beaten Ipswich at home so far this season. They've got a player in Johnny Williams who just scored an absolutely stunning goal. They beat Derby at home. They've beaten Reading at home. They are a phenomenal side. This is a Forest side who, don't forget, all season, have picked up, what is it, 5 wins? That's... What? Odds against? Odds against. And Forrester in a mess. They can't find a manager. They're missing... I mean, I know that Billy Davies didn't make particular friends in the media or the way he spoke post-match toward the end of his time there. But at the same time, he has been missing 8 key players. So they are still injury ravaged. They're playing people like Jonathan Greening in that side, who in his day was very, very good indeed, but he's now 35 years old. 13-10 for Ipswich. Looks, I mean, this is the thing. It just looks unbelievable. With the form Forest are in, with the players they're missing, with the managerial problems they're experiencing, and the fact that only the very best have beaten Ipswich this season at Portman Road. Why on earth are they odds against?
Yeah, I don't know.
It's as simple as that. 13-10 looks absolutely blistering.
Yeah. Simple as that.
It really is as simple as that.
Yeah, fair enough. Let's have a look at Leeds versus Doncaster Rovers next. This is a 3 o'clock kickoff on Saturday. Leeds odds on 17-20, 13-5 the price for the draw, and Doncaster Rovers are priced up at 3-1. Speaking of troubled clubs, obviously Leeds still going through the mill. 14th now, 47 points, 7 points clear of Doncaster Rovers, who in turn are 8 points clear of the drop zone. So both these teams' seasons are pretty much done. Donny would have to have a pretty big collapse. And they've been in great form until that defeat to Burnley, which I think everyone can excuse. They hadn't lost a game in the previous four, actually since being beaten 5-0 by Bournemouth. So they really bounced back from that defeat and got 3 wins out of 4, beating Sheffield Wednesday at home, drawing 0-0 at Forest, beating Watford and beating Huddersfield. So fared pretty well in Yorkshire derbies. And then you've got Leeds. The 2-1 win over Millwall kind of kept the fans at bay for a little bit. But the 4-1 defeat, I mean, you know, luckily for them, it was a long way away. But the 4-1 defeat, you know, Leeds fans not impressed at all. And they don't know if they're going to get paid this weekend, the players.
No.
All the staff behind the scenes. We always forget about them.
Well, this is the thing. We lurched from a club in Forest who were in a little bit of chaos and a bit of trouble to, well, I mean, what, I don't know what level Leeds are at. But it's probably got to be something similar, hasn't it? I mean, it's been utterly disastrous for them. Like you say, worries over who gets paid and who doesn't. The worries, of course, over the Chelino money now that may well be owed or may not. I know there's been suggestions that the agreement was in place for him to fund the club for several months before the decision was made by the Football League. But, you know, with Leeds, you never quite know if it's the end of the story, do you? That's the problem you've got. And I know that some people don't feel sorry for Leeds fans. I've got to say I'm beginning to very much do that. It has been a ludicrous run of a decade for them, hasn't it? And for the club itself, it's just been utterly damaging. And when you consider, you look at some clubs and the way that their money has gone and the way that they've gone financially over recent years, and I'm thinking teams like Pompey and things, it's surprising that Leeds aren't in a worse shape than they are, actually. If we're being honest with ourselves, it's surprising that they're not in as bad a shape as other clubs who've been through the mill as well. But anyway, to this game, you're looking at Doncaster Rovers side who haven't scored in five away. Paul Dickov bemoaning, like I said a moment ago, the referee's decisions on the way to that 2-0 loss at Burnley, for which there is utterly no shame. You look at some of the other teams they've been to. Yeovil, should they have done better there? Forest got a 0-0 draw. Bournemouth. And Leeds, for all of their problems, and I did say last, I remember vividly last week saying, how on earth can I back Leeds at 8-11? And I think that's still a point that I have to stand by in that way. I was wrong about it, but I still have to stand by it. I just think that they will have enough this weekend because of Doncaster Rovers' just abysmal away form. Their last win was September over Sheffield Wednesday. They've won only once away from home this season combined, and that was at Sheffield Wednesday through that Federico Makeda goal. And Leeds are a side who admittedly aren't phenomenal at home, but the thing is they score. If you look at the games recently, they've only won two of the last five at home, but they scored against Ipswich, five past Huddersfield, two past Millwall, and despite conceding four against Reading, scored twice. The question is, do I think Doncaster Rovers score? No, and if they do, they can only score, I think, one. Do I think Leeds score? Yes, and if Leeds score, it's surely got to be three of the last five games when they've scored over a goal. In which case, I think Leeds are going to win the match. It's just 17-20, which is, for me, such an ugly price to be playing. So I've gone instead on an anytime goal scorer win cast route. It's not quite as good as you'd like it to be, but I've played Matt Smith anytime and Leeds to win at 15-8. Now, I know that at times this season he's been used as an impact substitute, Matt Smith, but he has scored in the last three Leeds games back-to-back at home. Scored against Bolton, despite the fact they'd already conceded five. Scored against Reading, despite the fact they'd already conceded four. And then, of course, was one of the two goal scorers that got them that 2-1 win over Millwall. If I'm backing Leeds, I want to take a bit more risk and for a bit more reward, because if you're backing Leeds as it is, you're already taking, in my eyes, despite Doncaster Rovers' poor away form, a bit of a risk anyway. So if you're taking a risk, why not make it just a big risk? And 15-8, anytime goal scorer win cast, Smith and Leeds. And if you want to do it with McCormack, and why wouldn't you, McCormack and Leeds is 5-4.
Derby versus Charlton next. Derby are 8-13. The draw is 11-4, and Charlton are priced up at 9-2. Let's have a look at the relative form of these two sides. Derby fourth, of course, 66 points. So 7 points clear of Reading, who are in the bottom playoff spot, and a full 9 clear of Nottingham Forest, who are just on the outskirts, as we know. Charlton, no such luck for them. 3 points clear of relegation and still needing every single point they can possibly muster. The form has turned round for them, Pete, to be fair to Charlton. It would be all sorts of bother if they weren't involved in the run that they're in at the minute, which is only one defeat in the last five. A couple of draws in there, beating Forest, taking advantage in midweek, of course, of the problems there, and beating Bournemouth. Derby at home, though, with a 5-0 win over Forest, was just the latest in a load of wins. And they don't really concede many. They had that 1-0 defeat to Millwall, which really looks like a blip, doesn't it?
Look, you're absolutely right in what you say about Charlton's form. They've only lost two of the last seven games they've played, and the two teams who've beaten them, Leicester and Burnley. Fair enough.
Yeah.
Fair enough. It's as pure and as simple as that, isn't it? You do have to note that quite a few of those performances, you know, those not conceding at home, for example, against QPR, Bournemouth and Huddersfield, picking up 7 points in the process there. It's great. They've beaten Forest, they've beaten Millwall. I don't think, I'm afraid, that they beat Derby County this weekend, while Charlton have given themselves a great chance of staying up. And, you know, it is only 3 points gap between themselves and Yeovil, but they do have a better goal difference, so that, at this stage of the season, in my eyes, makes it 4 points. And I think they need probably three wins from what's left of the season to maybe get that. And let's not forget as well, three games in hand for Charlton, don't they? Mm. Predominantly at home as well. And that's what I think is going to make it a massive, massive key to them staying up. Yes, they've still got to play Reading at home. Other than that, Yeovil, so the, you know, the destination's in their own hands. Barnsley, you know, Bolton, Watford, not a good away side, Watford. Charlton, if they win the home games that they can win, they've got a great chance of staying in this league. They really have. And that bottom three is beginning to look more and more in trouble. The problem, I think, in this game is that Derby's confidence is going to be absolutely sky high in terms of their home form. Now, they went to Ipswich, they lost 2-1, and I know that last-minute Christophe Berra goal will have hit their confidence generally, but if they were going to another away game, you would worry about Derby here for me. Yes, that Berra goal would have hurt them, but it is an away goal, and I know that that doesn't matter in terms of general morale, but Steve McLaren's got one thing to say. Look at how buoyed the fans will be, and look, quite simply, what you did to Forest. And that, for me, means that Derby win it. Do they destroy Charlton? I don't think so. I think they might just about get through the game. I'd be surprised if they destroyed them. But the one man you've got to look at here is Bryson, surely. And I know that he got that hat-trick against Forest. It was Bamford who scored in the first minute before they lost the game against Ipswich. But you are still getting Craig Bryson here at 6-4 any time. And he did just score a hat-trick at home in a Derby game. He takes penalties as well, which I think is big. And, you know, he has scored, you know, he scored against Yeovil as well recently at home, so there is that in your pocket as well. I just felt that the Derby on the RI's 8-13 is good, it's fine, I think it'll land. I don't think that they'll batter Charlton, and I think that's got to be said as well. By a goal, if you want to play that, is 5-2, Derby minus 1, Charlton plus 1. Happy with that too, because I don't think they destroy Charlton. Charlton's defence has been very solid recently. I just think it might just be too difficult this weekend for Charlton. You talk about the teams who've beaten them recently, Leicester and Burnley. And, you know, they beat QPR, a great result. But I just think at the moment, Derby come under the banner with Leicester and Burnley in terms of teams that will just have too much for Charlton.
Yeah, fair news. Let's have a look at QPR versus Blackpool next. The odds, QPR are 8-13, the draw's 13-5, Blackpool priced up at 5-1. QPR, their league position currently is third. They've just kind of stopped, taken stock and thought, right, yeah, we need to get back on this, guys. 10 points away from Burnley, but in pole position as far as the playoffs go, and a full 12 points clear of Nottingham Forest. As for their rivals this weekend, Blackpool, 41 points. It's been a largely disappointing season for Blackpool, Pete, hasn't it? And no real reason to think that that'll change this weekend, is there?
No. There isn't, I'm afraid to say. Blackpool have improved recently, actually, obviously wins over Huddersfield and Millwall at home, but away from home it's been a pretty torrid period of events, hasn't it? No win since early November, which was away at Nottingham Forest. And QPR, for all of their sins, and there have been many sins from QPR this season, it's been predominantly away from home, hasn't it, where those sins have come. You know, not scoring at Derby is kind of okay. Charlton, Brighton, Sheffield Wednesday, these are games they would have expected to win. And don't forget, it was a mistake at the weekend that got QPR in the lead against Middlesbrough. It was looking like a nailed-on draw that game. And then, of course, a mistake before another goal in the 90th minute made it 3-1. So a little bit of a misleading result, that one, for QPR, ultimately speaking. But at home, look, very, very good. Leicester, Reading, the only two teams who've won at QPR this season. And for all of QPR's faults, and like I've said, there's been many this year, their home form isn't really one. Now, you get an 8-13 for a side who are looking very, very dangerous. But I've gone for another goal scorer play here. And Ravel Morrison is odds against at 5-4. Now, he scored the other day. He's looking unbelievably dangerous. His pace is unbelievable. And the report I keep getting about Blackpool again and again and again is a real lack of speed, of agility. And if you haven't got speed, agility, or even a sort of an awareness defensively against Ravel Morrison, he will tear you apart. 5-4 any time is great. QPR will win the game. And to be honest with you, I'd be more than happy with a minus a goal, which is a strange thing to say because, like we've said it so many times this season for QPR, it's been by a goal, hasn't it? It's been by a goal against Bolton recently, by a goal against Wigan recently. But the last time they played a poor side, which Blackpool are at home, was Yeovil, and they battered them 3-0. I think minus a goal at 7-4 is a really, really tasty price.
Very nice. Let's round off the Championship with Yeovil versus Barnsley. 6-5 the price for Yeovil, 12-5 the price for Barnsley, and 11-5 is the price for the draw. Yeovil, third bottom now, 32 points. Barnsley on the same number of points. The records, although Barnsley have got a game in hand, both had 7 wins, both had 11 draws. Yeovil have had 20 defeats and Barnsley 19. It's a minus 22 goal difference for Yeovil, minus 30 for Barnsley. So that gives Yeovil that little edge over their rivals here, the relegation rivals. A good point, obviously, at Leicester in the week. They drew 2-2 with Bolton. They drew 3-3 with Wigan. I like patterns, Pete. You probably gathered that by now. 3-3 draw, 2-2 draw, 1-1 draw, 0-0?
No, Barnsley
okay.
win.
Okay, I tried.
Barnsley
away
win.
Away from home.
I think so, yeah. Now, normally you wouldn't be touching Barnsley away from home with a barge pole, of course. The worst club across pretty much all the Football League in terms of, you know, losses this season, in terms of goals conceded. They have been absolutely abysmal. But then they picked up a win against Reading. And if you think back to Barnsley as a club, I know that it was Flitcroft who did this and not Wilson, but if you look back to Barnsley over the last couple of seasons, there has been kind of dramatic charges almost, hasn't there, at times? And I don't know, but that 3-1 win over Reading, as unpredictable and wild as Reading's results at home have been so far this season, I just think that Barnsley might have enough here. Now, Yeovil have been really hard to beat at home recently. Only Ipswich, like you say, have done it in the last 5. I think it's the last 7, in fact. But I just felt that Barnsley's boost here from what they got, and they beat Forest, they beat Reading, losses in between against, you know, Watford, not really a great result, Bournemouth, not a great result, and a loss against Leicester, fine. But I just looked at Barnsley here, and I felt that there might be just something ticking them over. And as much as Yeovil's home form has been very decent, as much as that draw, you know, like you say, 3 back-to-back draws for Yeovil, and against good teams as well, you know, Wigan, you know, Leicester, as much as those were important results for Yeovil, I looked at the price on Barnsley and felt it was too big. But of course, when it's too big, I can get the draw in my favour anyway. And here he comes, Mr. Cowardly Farries, yet again. The draw, no bet, is 6-4. Now, with the results that Barnsley have pulled off and a bit of momentum that they've had over recent years going for them at this stage of the season, I just felt that with the way that Danny Wilson has been talking, this could be the beginning of that momentum. Whether they stay up, I'm doubtful. But draw, no bet, 6-4, Barnsley. You're getting 2 results in your favour. You're getting odds against. You're getting a Barnsley side who've got good away confidence after winning against Reading. That was the way that I kind of pitched myself in this game. And I know that since that loss against Reading, there's been a lot of talk around Barnsley, a lot of confidence. If they can follow it up with a win over Yeovil, there might be a chance. There might be a chance. And, you know, in terms of Yeovil, there might be a chance for them. They're not losing games. They're looking good at home. They beat a team who aren't phenomenal, but have improved massively in Sheffield Wednesday. 2-0 recently, of course. They drew with Bolton. But I just felt that Barnsley were the play, and I felt the other way into this game, Lee, if you want to play it, is the 10-11 over 2.5 match goals. If you look at Yeovil's games of late, yes, it hasn't really landed a huge amount at home because Huish Park is a difficult place to go, but landed, of course, against Wigan, landed against QPR, landed against Bolton. If you're looking at their general games, it's landed. If you're looking at Barnsley away from home, 3 of the last 5, sorry, not away from home, just generally, 3 of the last 5. If you're looking at away from home, well, you're looking at 4 of the last 5. So that, for me, is a great play as well. But I think Barnsley might have enough, but why not get yourself the insurance as well? Draw, no bet. Pretty decent price for me, a 6-4.
Yeah, nice. Let's get Pete's best bets in League One and League Two before we look at the FA Trophy final, Johnston's Paint Trophy. League One first, Pete.
Yeah, in terms of League One, Lee, again, you're looking through teams who are almost there now, aren't you? You're looking at teams who are either done in terms of Wolves, who for me are pretty much sorted now in terms of promotion, which isn't a particularly elaborate thing to say, but they got over that loss against Crawley, won back-to-back games, have of course a game in hand over Brentford, sorry, no, have played one more than Brentford, but have a game in hand over Leighton Orient, who of course are their playoff rivals, if you will, in terms of dropping into the playoffs. So I think Wolves are pretty much fine this weekend. who I don't think are fine this weekend, though, if I'm perfectly honest with you, are Tranmere. Now, they've lost four of the last five games they've played, and they're playing Carlisle. And Carlisle haven't won in any of the last five games that they have played, but they're looking in the next couple of days to possibly bringing in Gary Medine. It is a possibility at the moment, and no more, but it's looking like that could well be his destination. It's not definite. Nothing in football ever is. Things change. But I just think that Carlisle might have enough. Tranmere at home. This is what you've got to look at here. Tranmere at home. What sort of general form do you get from them? And, it's not kind of embarrassing, so to speak, form. And yes, they've had problems, of course, off the field this season, haven't they, and very lately. But at home, they've beaten Coventry, they've beaten Notts County, they've drawn with Oldham. And if you look at Carlisle away, it ain't great. And why? Of course it isn't great. Firstly, they're a relegation side. And secondly, they're a side who are having to travel all over the place. But they've been to Notts County and lost comprehensively. They've been to an improved, vastly improved side. Yeah, very vastly improved side at Bristol City. They've been Coventry. They've lost to Sheffield United. So what? But I just felt that there might be a bit of an upset on the cards this weekend. And Carlisle on the outright at 11-5 are pretty big. And when it comes live, I'll be looking at the draw no bet. That would be my main way in. I just think Carlisle might have enough. And in terms of League 2, Lee, there'll be no surprise as to who I'm picking this weekend.
League 2, Pete?
League 2 this weekend, I'm going with York. Why wouldn't you?
No.
They're 7-5, and I know they're playing a very good side indeed in Burton. I know they're playing a side in Burton who've lost only one of their last five. But York won again in the week through that William Hayhurst goal. They are unbelievable. They've won 6 back-to-back. They have won 8 of the last 10. At home, they have been unbelievable of late, beating Exeter, Wickham and Torquay. 7-5.
Mm-hmm.
It's too good a price to ignore.
Yeah, looks nice. Looks very nice indeed. Both teams to score a double coming in a second. Chesterfield, Peterborough then, Pete. The prices for this Wembley date for both clubs. See, Chesterfield at 21-10. 23-10 the draw, and Peterborough 23-20. History tells us that this had been quite a high scoring game up until the last few years when the under 2.5s landed, when Carlisle won 1-0, Chesterfield themselves won 2-0, didn't they? Crewe won 2-0 as well. How do you see this game going?
Overs.
I thought so as well.
I'll tell you why. The problems, and Paul Cook himself will admit this to anyone who asks him, and probably not just people in the street, but to journalists who ask him.
I might ring him up afterwards. Yeah. You got his phone number, haven't you?
I actually do, yeah. if you look at it and you say, listen, what has been Chesterfield's problem this season? The problem that Chesterfield have had is that the style of football they play in a 4-2-3-1 that in League 2 is borderline unheard of, they play a 4-2-3-1 with attractive passing football. Now, what is the one thing, and you can ask Arsene Wenger about this when he's played teams like Stoke, what is the one thing that dampens attractive passing football? Five-man midfields and five-man defences. Teams who set up for nothing else other than a draw, or other than stifling the living daylights out of a game. And Chesterfield have struggled against that this season. They've struggled to break that down. When Chesterfield have played teams who've come at them, like I'm thinking recently Bury, like recently Oxford, what's happened? They've battered them. What, just off the top of your head, Lee, and it's not a very difficult question, what style of football is the only style of football that Darren Ferguson can play?
That one.
No.
Attacking. They love attacking football.
Yes. They are mad for it. And if you go back to years ago in the holy triumvirate of Mikhail Smith, McLean and Boyd, they were conceding ridiculous amounts of goals and still winning games. Now, it has dampened, it has tightened a little bit since those heady days of that holy triumvirate, but they are still, ultimately, an attacking side. Chesterfield are, ultimately, an incredibly attacking side. And like I said, while it has dampened a little bit in terms of what Peterborough have conceded this season, they've still scored 59 goals this season and conceded 52.
Mm.
And this is still a side who are sixth, who've actually only won 3 of the last 5 games they've played. Now, Chesterfield have been in a sticky run of form themselves as well, of course, recently. Beat Morecambe narrowly in the week 1-0, but deserved the win, controlled the game, were under no real stress. over 2.5 match goals in this game is 19-20, Lee. That is phenomenal. Both teams to score and over 2.5 match goals is 6-5. That is phenomenal. But if I'm honest with you, and I don't normally like to talk massively about Chesterfield games on here because I just feel like it's not a conflict of interest and stuff, but there's just no need to get into that particularly, really. But I just think Chesterfield win it. Because the one problem they've had this season is playing teams who basically grind them and who refuse to do anything other than defend. I have a feeling that Peterborough, and it's a pretty informed feeling, Peterborough will not be doing that. And I've got to say, I think Chesterfield might actually win the JPT. In terms of players to look at for goals, Ollie Banks is 7-2. He was rested the other night. Well, I say rested, he hadn't played particularly well the game before and was kind of kept out of the side. He's 7-2 any time. That's phenomenal. Gary Roberts any time is 11-4. If I was listeners, I'd be waiting to find out on the team news in terms of who starts up front. Because Mark Richards and Owen Doyle, I'd be stunned if both of them started, and he has been switching the two of them recently. They're 15-8 any time individually. Just wait for your team news in terms of strikers. But I think Gary Roberts any time at 11-4 is phenomenal. I think Ollie Banks any time at 7-2 is phenomenal. On the other side of things, there have, of course, been important players lost in the mix recently. Alex Pritchard, of course, who was phenomenal for Peterborough. He's not going to be there from the looks of things at the weekend. I just think that Chesterfield will have enough, and I'm not genuinely just saying that. I just think that on an occasion like this, they'll be able to see it through. So I'd actually be playing Chesterfield on the outrights or the draw, no better, 13-10.
Very good. And good luck for your day at Wembley, Pete. It'll be good fun for you.
It will. I've just got to pick my suit up later, in fact, this afternoon. And I've got to get a tie. Because
I thought you were going to say tan.
For some reason, I'm a 26, almost 27-year-old man who doesn't own a tie. Well, I say doesn't own a tie, but I have serious suspicions, despite the fact that she vehemently denies it, that my girlfriend has been through the two or three ties I moved in here with and has decided that they are not acceptable.
Oh, right,
and has possibly destroyed them. But I don't have any evidence, and she is wholeheartedly refuting the accusation. I would like to put on record for legal reasons and also for reasons because I'm scared of her that she has strongly refuted the claim.
Right.
But I think she has absolutely killed them. So I'm now going to have to go out and buy a new tie this afternoon.
When someone told me that you'd moved in with a nasty tie bird, and I thought it was something completely different. They're both teams to score. Faded down. No chance to come back from that. I can't hear you. Rotherham they both teams to score a double. Rotherham versus Bristol City and Crewe versus Coventry are my picks, unfortunately, at this juncture. Although all the League 2 games are priced up for both teams to score, for some reason, the traders have only priced up the MK Dons Wolves game, both teams to score. I suspect, though, that both teams' games will be around the 8-13, 4-6 mark. And if they are, I like that. Rotherham, 72% of their home games have featured both teams scoring. Bristol City, 83% of their away games. I've started to look at these stats a little bit more recently as well. They still stand up for these two teams. But in the second game, Crewe, only 55% of their season-long home games have been both teams to score. But if you look at the last 10, 7 of them have been featured both teams scoring for Crewe at home. Coventry, just always goals in their games away from home. 72% away from home. So 2-8-13 shots-ish, I'm hoping. Should see you home. I haven't had one of those land for quite a while, so a little bit of a worry. But I think it'll land this time. What about the Naps then, Pete? Last week, neither of us landed. You had Leicester to win over 2.5 goals. I had some crazy unders on the goals, overs on the cards bet for Derby Forest. Neither side of that one, so apologies on that one. Where are you going this week, Pete?
Which game did I speak? And I'm normally a man who gets accused, quite rightly, of waffling. And not only waffling, repeating himself, being arrogant, having a stupid face. So there's plenty of things that I get accused
Accusing your girlfriend
for.
Of theft.
Yeah, my sort of things. Beard that I think looks great actually still looks like the beard that a 13-year-old
boy would grow. Is that a beard?
Yeah.
I didn't know you've been growing a beard.
Well, that's my point.
Right, okay, yeah, okay. What are you going for? Just, you're proving your point, but go on, what are you going for?
Exactly. It's Ipswich. It's as simple as that. 13-10 for a side who've still got more than an outside squeak of the playoffs. 13-10 for a side who are phenomenal at home. 13-10 for a side who've actually not conceded in four of the last six home games. 13-10 for a side who've only been beaten by Wigan at home recently. 13-10 for a side who look incredibly confident. And 13-10 for a side who are playing a Forest side who've been to Burnley and Derby recently and lost comprehensively, shipping eight goals in the process, and are in a little bit of a mess with around 6 to 8 key players probably missing. You know, as I think Einstein said, you do the math.
Mine involves that Burnley-Leicester game that Pete talked about. I too think there will be goals in the game. The only reason I didn't put it in the both teams to score was the price was way short. 13-20, which yeah probably will land, but it's just a bit too short for me. But because of the goals in the game, I like the goal scorers. I think Sam Vokes 6-5, Jamie Vardy 6-5. You can have them both together to score at any time in the game at 4-1. But I'm not going to go greedy. I'm just going to go for one of them. I'm going to go for Sam Vokes at 6-5. I mean, his record is slightly worse than Vardy's in recent times. Vokes has got 6-9. Vardy's got 6-7, including 4 away from home, incidentally. So that's why I'm kind of I like that 4-1. But just for safety's sake, Sam Vokes at home. Agree with Pete on the assessment of the game. I think Burnley are just still pushing, whereas Leicester might just be easing off a little bit. 6-5, any time goal. You're not getting odds against for Vokes against any other team in the division. And I don't see why he should be odds against here when I think he'll be presented with chances the way Leicester play. So 6-5, Sam Vokes will score any time. And Pete going Ipswich. Thanks, Pete. Enjoy your weekend, mate. Enjoy Wembley. And we'll speak to you next week.
Thank you very much. I've just got to A, find a tie, B, find somewhere to stay, and see you have a shave.
I suggest you do those in accommodation, tie, shave order.
Just personally, the beard looks so terrible and is also so itchy, it'll probably be accommodation beard tie.
Okay, fine, yeah. Thanks, mate.
Cheers, mate. Thank you.
If you want to have a bet on any of the markets that we've discussed, then go to the William Hill website, football pages, and then you've got all competitions along the top. All your both teams to score coupons are in the coupons tab, and there's plenty more to look at there as well. If you haven't a bet on any of them, then very best of luck.
William Hill is committed to responsible gambling. Visit gambleaware.co.uk for more information.